Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Day two of the Republican National Convention is taking place in Charlotte, North Carolina today. Yesterday, our live program was largely preempted by NPR's coverage of the roll call of delegates and speeches by Vice President Pence and President Trump. And I should say completely preempted, unless you caught one of the rebroadcasts on some of our stations. So later this hour, we're going to bring you the conversations we broadcast basically to ourselves yesterday. It's a retrospective on the life and legacy of former Republican Illinois Governor Jim Thompson, who died this month, and an interview with former Lake County Sheriff Mark Curran, who is the Republican challenging incumbent Democratic U.S. Senator Dick Durbin this November. Meanwhile, the evening program of the convention continued with several speeches from the Mellon Auditorium in Washington, D.C. Speakers included Representative Steve Scalise of Louisiana, Nikki Haley, the former U.N. ambassador for President Trump, Donald Trump Jr., and Senator Tim Scott, a Republican of South Carolina. But a lot is also being made of Republicans who are not attending the convention this year, and that includes George W. Bush, the only living former Republican president. And if you contrast that with the Democratic National Convention, where all the living former Democratic presidents spoke, including Carter, Clinton, and Obama, all speaking in support of nominee Joe Biden. Meanwhile, former Illinois Governor Jim Edgar announced he would be voting for Biden, joining former Republican Congressman Ray LaHood and other former Republican officials such as Ohio Governor John Kasich, General and Secretary of State Colin Powell, and others. Listeners, we want to know, what did you think of the first night of RNC coverage? We are live for this segment. The phone lines are open, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Of course, if you are listening later, you can always send us an email. We'd love to hear what you thought about what we talked about today. Talk at 21stshow.org is the address. Joining us now to talk about the RNC day one and what's ahead is Rick Pearson, chief political reporter for the Chicago Tribune. Rick, welcome back to the 21st. Thanks for coming on again.
Thank you, Brian.
So I wonder, what did you think? Let's start with the roll call yesterday. I'm a little fixated because that preempted us. But, you know, I saw some commentary last night that Democrats were surprised that the Republican Party did not follow the Democratic lead in doing the sort of 56 state territory, you know, travelogue that made up the DNC's roll call. What was the reaction to that yesterday?
Well, actually, I found it interesting that President Trump, in his remarks to the convention yesterday, made a point about the roll call and that some media outlets weren't carrying the roll call. But he said he thought the way the Democrats did it was very interesting in doing that travelogue. And of course, now I think calamari is probably like the top trending term in the universe, thanks to Rhode Island. But I thought it was very interesting about, you know, giving a view of kind of the national landscape versus the Republicans, who just were very static and standing in front of a microphone and doing more of the traditional kind of, you know, as Tim Schneider, the state Republican chairman, gave Illinois 67 delegates to Trump, you know, reciting that this is the home of the first Republican president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, and the birthplace of Ronald Reagan. I think the parochialism of the travelogue that the Democrats did really brought kind of a new dynamic to conventions. And I think you're going to probably see that as the way of the future.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, you know, we have this Text the 21st group, and we put out over the weekend, you know, what we asked our texters, what do you hope to see from the Republicans? And we also asked them, which way do you lean? And we got an interesting text from Gene in Champaign, who says, "I lean Democratic, although I consider myself independent. What I want to hear is the truth, not a bunch of innuendo. I would think better of the GOP if they would stand up for the governed and not make dubious claims for what they have done." And this is my favorite part: it was sent with the gentle effect, which is an option for those who have the iPhone out there. You can send little text effects. Why don't we take a listen, keeping that in mind, right? What message are the Republicans putting out there? Who are they trying to reach? Let's take into a listen to a montage of some of the voices that they featured at their sort of primetime program Monday evening from the RNC.
The Democratic Party does not want black people to leave their mental plantation.
Good evening, America. We are Mark and Patty McCloskey. We're speaking to you tonight from St. Louis, Missouri, where just weeks ago you may have seen us defending our home as a mob of protesters descended on our neighborhood.
They're not satisfied with spreading the chaos and violence into our communities. They want to abolish the suburbs altogether by ending single-family home zoning. This forced rezoning would bring crime, lawlessness, and low-quality apartments into now thriving suburban neighborhoods.
America, it's all on the line. President Trump believes in you. He emancipates and lifts you up to live your American dream. You are capable, you are qualified, you are powerful, and you have the ability to choose your life and determine your destiny.
Joe Biden's made a career in Washington for 47 years, promising things he's never delivered.
In much of the Democratic Party, it's now fashionable to say that America is racist. That is a lie. America is not a racist country. This is personal for me. I am the proud daughter of Indian immigrants. We face discrimination and hardship, but my parents never gave in to grievance and hate.
America is the greatest country on earth, but my father's entire worldview revolves around the idea that we can always do even better.
Our family went from cotton to Congress in one lifetime. There are millions of families just like mine all across this nation, full of potential, seeking to live the American dream. And I'm here tonight to tell you that supporting the Republican ticket gives you the best chance of making that dream a reality.
So in reverse order, that's Senator Tim Scott, Republican of South Carolina, Donald Trump Jr., Nikki Haley, former U.N. Ambassador, Representative Steve Scalise, Kimberly Guilfoyle, who's with the Trump Victory Committee, Mark and Patty McCloskey, the St. Louis area homeowners who were seen and have been charged with a crime for brandishing firearms at protesters going through their neighborhood, and at the beginning, Georgia State Representative Vernon Jones, a Democrat who has been disavowed by the Democratic Party, referring to the Democrats keeping black people on, quote, mental plantations, close quote. If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Rick Pearson, Chicago Tribune's chief political reporter. Rick, I wonder who, and I left that, you know, that's not the normal way I would structure an audio montage. It didn't sort of like start slow and build up. That is the order in which the speakers appeared. And you'd have people like trying to appeal to black voters. Then you'd have the St. Louis homeowners talking about, you know, low quality housing coming into our neighborhood. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You know, and who are they trying to reach? And do you think they are successful in getting their message out there to people?
Well, you know, Brian, I think this is the tug and pull that Republicans face. They know, one, there is the base, and conventions are always about ginning up the base. So you have to deliver for the base. But there's also the fact that the base is not enough to get somebody elected, and you have to reach out. And I was glad you pulled that cut from Patty McCloskey, the wife of the husband-wife St. Louis homeowners, talking about basically, they want to abolish the suburbs, because I think more and more this contest nationally is all about the suburbs. And obviously what we've seen in Illinois and the collar counties, which used to be that Republican firewall from Democratic Chicago, that firewall has been burned through the election of two Democrats in longtime Republican congressional seats 2 years ago. This is really a race about the suburbs. And what Republicans have found is by using the issue of civil unrest, the looting in downtown Chicago, that has created a law and order opening for their message. And that's really the message that they're sending out to the suburbs, is it's in the city, maybe in the city now, but it could come to your house next. Found it interesting too, because a lot of Republicans had said that they were looking forward to an uplifting kind of message in this convention, as compared to Democrats sowing doom and gloom if another 4 years of Donald Trump. But yet, when you listen to those speeches, for the most part, it was not very uplifting. It was, you know, it was a warning cry that if Democrats are elected to the White House, that's the end of the United States as we know it, the end of democracy. It's going to be socialism and anarchy.
Yeah, and mirroring in some ways. I mean, Democrats are putting out a pretty urgent warning to their voters as well about the threat that they see from President Trump continuing.
Exactly, the opposite, just the complete opposite side. It's you know, two different views of the universe.
Right, right. Yeah, we increasingly seem to live in two very different shared sets of facts and understandings about what's going on. You know, I want to ask about Illinois Republicans. You talked about how the suburbs have increasingly gone Democratic, both at the state house level and those congressional seats. You mentioned the two that flipped last time around. And I think increasingly the prognosticators are saying that those aren't even necessarily going to be particularly competitive. They're sort of in the at least lean Democratic, if not, you know, solidly Democratic this time around. But I wonder what are prospects for Illinois Republicans this year, given how, you know, statewide President Trump is pretty unpopular. They do have a lot of scandal on the Democratic side. Are they trying to capitalize on that, or will that just be swamped by the sort of national political identity that people have?
That's the big question for Republicans. Obviously, with issues involving scandals and the Democratic Party, as well as the issue of civil unrest, that Republicans kind of saw an opening here for talking about law and order, talking about ethics and corruption, those kinds of things. But then you had Tim Schneider, which, as state chairman, you would expect him to say when asked if Donald Trump could win Illinois. And of course, Schneider's the state Republican chairman. He's going to say yes, even though to me that kind of raises questions of credibility about everything else you say then, because, you know, Trump lost by 17 percentage points last time in Illinois. And Republicans are really fearing that they don't want the election to be nationalized. They want it to be more of elections on individual races. They don't want it to be overtaken by Trump, because they have a great fear that, you know, outside the rural parts of the state that have heavily supported Trump and Republicans, outside of that, they fear even more losses.
Yeah, and just about 3 minutes left in our conversation, I want to ask about the convention itself. Obviously, you are not there. No reporters, I think, are attending this, that, at least that I know of. Maybe, you know, a few parked outside.
I'm missing barbecue, I'll tell you that
much. Well, yesterday we talked on the show with Amanda Vinicky, again, largely preempted, so I'm not sure unless people caught the podcast or rebroadcast. But we talked about what we missed out on at the DNC by not being there in person, asking tough questions of House Speaker Michael Madigan, the possibility of Democrats sort of getting together and strategizing in small groups about what the future of their party might be, you know, when Speaker Madigan leaves one way or another someday. What are we missing out on by not having an RNC in person, as somebody who has covered a lot of these conventions in person in the past?
Well, I think the big thing that we're missing out on is, what is the future of the Republican Party in Illinois? And what who's going to run for governor in 2 years? Who are the potential Republican candidates for governor? Who's going to be the leader of the party? I mean, this had become such a Republican Bruce Rauner party when he was governor, and how he used his wealth to basically fund Republican candidates, the state GOP, the Illinois House and Illinois Senate Republican campaign funds. That was all Bruce Rauner's doing. And he lost, he's gone. His money is not to be found. And so you take the issue of concerns about Donald Trump and Illinois local races becoming nationalized, the lack of ability in raising money, the gains that Democrats have made and holding every statewide office, as well as veto-proof majorities in the House and Senate. This is a really critical point for the Republican Party in Illinois. And I think those are the kinds of things we're missing is, you know, where goest Republicans? You know, obviously the rah-rah of the convention aside, there's some real questions about what is a Republican in Illinois these days. You've got Jim Edgar saying that he's going to vote for Joe Biden. You know, what are those Republicans who were successful in the past? And you're going to, you know, talk about Jim Thompson. I'm not sure Thompson or Edgar could even run as Republicans under the current infrastructure of what exists as a Republican Party today in Illinois.
I think that's a great place to end this conversation. Rick Pearson, we will continue to follow your coverage of the RNC and Illinois politics in general in the Chicago Tribune. Thanks so much for being back with us on the 21st.
Thank you as always, Brian. Appreciate it.
And listeners, just as I said, the rest of the show, we're going to be re-airing the conversations that were preempted yesterday. We'll be talking about the life and legacy, as Rick just said, the life and legacy of Governor Jim Thompson, and bringing you an interview with Mark Curran, the former Lake County Sheriff who is challenging U.S. Senator Dick Durbin this fall. That's all coming up after a short break. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. For 150 years, Busey has helped business owners and entrepreneurs navigate financial decisions, achieve long-term goals, and realize dreams of success. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.